Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Truly, he is risen. Alleluia.
The octave of Easter provides us at least 8 full days to continue to contemplate the mystery of Christ's resurrection. And in today's gospel, we hear how the disciples of Jesus who encountered him at Emmaus recounted to the apostles in the upper room that they had seen the Lord. But they were still wondering, what does this mean that Jesus is raised up? Is it just his spirit that is raised up? How is his body now alive? Because it's not the same as when Jesus rose Lazarus or Jairus' daughter from the dead. Jesus, when he is raised, his body is transformed. And it points to how our bodies, if we die in Christ, will be raised up in Christ. That our bodies will be transformed. We won't just have our spirits, we won't just be ghosts in heaven in the clouds. No, we will have resurrected bodies. And there's certain qualities that our resurrected bodies will have in heaven for those in the state of glory. And Jesus points to some of that. He shows how he eats, but he's not eating out of hunger. He's trying to show to them his body really is there. Because at the same time, he came in the midst. He came through locked doors. So that's why they kind of wonder. We hear, you know, they thought they were seeing a ghost because he walked through the doors. But that's a quality that resurrected bodies will have. Catholic theology points out 4 different qualities that risen bodies of the saints will have. And one of them is agility, freedom from weakness. Another one is impassibility, that's immunity to suffering, you know, no sickness, no death. And then subtlety, complete subjection of the body to the soul. So the appetites are completely subjected to the intellect and will, all in perfect harmony. And so even though Jesus eats, it's not because he's giving in to hunger. And then brightness, there's an outward radiance in proportion to the degree of inward holiness. Now Jesus, he's kind of veiling his radiance, because if the apostles were to see him as he really was in his glory, they would practically be blinded. But Jesus points to then these qualities, he foreshadows, he gives us hope for what our risen bodies will come to have. You know, so he's able to pass through locked doors, he vanishes at will, he's no longer subject to the limitations of time and space and the laws of nature. But his risen body actually has something special. And that is what we hear with Jesus' words, "Look at my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Touch me and see." Jesus is pointing to his wounds. When our bodies rise, all imperfections, you know, if you had an amputation or some kind of scars, that'll all be perfected. But Jesus keeps his scars that he endured on the cross. Not all of them. He didn't keep all the scars from, you know, the crown of thorns or the scourging or all the other sufferings he endured in his passion, but he keeps the scars on his hands and his feet and in his side. And we see that in the Divine Mercy image. The Divine Mercy image that St. Faustina saw and had painted with Blessed Michael Sopochko is part of this scene in today's gospel. It's the risen Jesus. And Jesus is showing his wounds in this image. He's saying what we heard in today's gospel, "Peace be with you," as he's giving that blessing. His wound that he's pointing to, especially highlighting, is the wound in his side. You know, we see how his left hand is peeling back the garment in front of his heart. because he wants to reveal the wound in his heart, pierced in his side, which gushed forth blood and water. That blood signifying new life in Christ through the Eucharist, and that water signifying baptism, the waters of baptism, which we hear Jesus talks about, that, you know, you will preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And indeed, in our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, it's exactly what Peter did. He said to repent so that your sins may be blotted out. And that happens at baptism. And if we do sin, then we know we can renew that cleanliness from our baptism. Again, with that water coming from the side, that water of baptism, it's also the water of the sacrament of penance, confession. So that water cleanses us. What about his other wounds, the wounds in his hands and feet? Sometimes divine mercy devotion gets criticized because, oh, Jesus isn't showing his wounds. Well, sorry, he is. If you don't think you're seeing his wounds, it's because you're seeing a poor reproduction of the image. But in the original image that St. Faustina had directed, currently is in Vilnius, Lithuania, the wounds are there. And if you look closely at our image, you'll see it too. It's very subtle because it's not to be grotesque. It's not supposed to be something graphic, but it is something there glowing and radiating. The wounds in his feet you can't really see because of his priestly vestment, but they are there in his hands. And like I said, he's literally pointing to one of his wounds in his heart. So Jesus is definitely emphasizing his wounds, just like he emphasizes his wounds to the apostles. Look at my hands and my feet. St. Thomas Aquinas provides 5 reasons why Christ showing his wounds is fitting, why his wounds are still there with his glorified body. He points to how it's for Christ's own glory. You know, as Venerable Bede says, it's not that he can't heal them, but he wants to wear them as an everlasting trophy of victory. Because by his wounds, we were healed. By his wounds, he conquered death. So showing his wounds is like showing a trophy for the Lord. And St. Augustine actually says, you know, he wonders, perhaps in the kingdom of heaven, we shall see on the bodies of the martyrs the traces of the wounds which they bore for Christ's name. Because in that case, it won't be a deformity from just some accident or injury, but there'll be a special dignity in that they were suffered for Christ's sake. And a certain beauty will shine in them. Secondly, Jesus has wounds in his glorified body to confirm the hearts of the disciples as to the faith in his resurrection, to show that there's still continuity from the cross. And we see that, especially here in the Divine Mercy image, that not only is Jesus showing the wound from his side, but showing that that wound still gushes forth that blood and water, that blood and water, the rays of mercy, did not end there on Calvary, but continues today for us. And then thirdly, St. Thomas says he has the wounds that when he pleads for us with the Father, he may always show the manner of death he endured for us. It's as if Jesus shows God the Father, see how I have loved them, Father. Have mercy on them. You know, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about Jesus. He's that eternal high priest. He has no need, like those high priests of the Old Testament, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since Jesus did this once for all when he offered up himself, and his wounds are evidence of that. It's a reminder of that. And so it reminds us, too, that not only is he the priest, you know, he's wearing an alb, right? He's got that white alb, the white robe, He's our high priest offering up the perfect sacrifice. But who is the victim? He is. He's both priest and victim. And then fourthly, St. Thomas says, Jesus has his wounds in his glorified body that he may convince those redeemed in his blood how mercifully they have been helped as he exposes before them the traces of the same death. To anyone who doubts the Lord's love or his understanding of our trials, you can always look to the crucifix. But what about other images of Jesus? What about Jesus when we see him in heaven? He'll still have his wounds showing in his glorified body, because we won't need a crucifix in heaven to remind us of God's love for us. But again, his wounds in his glorified body will be there to still manifest exteriorly just how merciful he was to us. And that here and now, even when we see other images of Jesus, like here in the Divine Mercy image, which is Jesus risen, that we know we need to dwell in the wounds of Christ, take shelter in his wounds, especially the wound in his side, which gushes forth those rays of mercy and shields us from the wrath of God, the justice. And lastly, St. Thomas says that Jesus has his wounds because on Judgment Day, he may upbraid the people when he's separating, you know, the sheep from the goats with their just condemnation. So Christ will show his wounds to his enemies so that he who is the truth may convict them, saying, you know, behold the man whom you crucified. See the wounds you inflicted. Recognize the side you pierced, since it was opened by you and for you, yet you would not enter. And so at our personal judgment or at the general judgment, we will see those wounds of Christ and they will convict us, because while all have contributed to the wounds of Christ, not all accept the mercy which flows from them. Not all seek to dwell in those wounds, to be made new by those wounds, to be healed by those wounds. You know, God is not going to be harsh on Judgment Day. Is that we will see reality. We will see everything we did. And it's not that Jesus, you know, sends us to hell. No, it's that he just proclaims what we have chosen. You know, when he says your sentence is heaven, that is because we, with the grace of God, accepted God's mercy and chose to be with God forever in heaven. But when he says your sentence is hell, it is we. He is just confirming our choice. It is we who have chosen to be separated from God, not only on earth, but for eternity. And so, either way, on Judgment Day, he'll show his wounds to show that I endured suffering from you, out of love for you. It's as if he's saying, when I was on the cross, the soldier pierced my side. My heart was literally opened for you, and still you would not enter. You know, what more could I have done than to allow your own sins to be your redemption? Monsignor Charles Pope, a priest in D.C., you know, highlights how remarkable that is, that God twists, he transforms our own very sins, the harm that we do to God in sin. Even God can transform that to be our own redemption. And yet, with something as remarkable and as merciful as that, some will still refuse. May Christ's wounds soften our hearts. May his wounds pierce our heart, so that we have an opening for Christ's mercy to be on us. And for us who have received so much of God's mercy, then we are called to share that mercy with others. Those rays of mercy, as we see in the divine mercy image, when they come upon us, if we soften our hearts and are vulnerable with our hearts, we then must allow those rays to not only soak into our hearts, they must shine out to others. That is why we who have been received so much from the Lord, so much mercy, that is why we are called to be merciful to others. And we thank God then for his victory on the cross, his victory which we continue to celebrate during this Easter octave, because by his wounds we are healed, and by his wounds we will be able to also share in the glory of the resurrection.